Did you find Hebrews 4:14 for a second? And verse 16. Let's go ahead and read this. Jesus, you know, the present day ministry of Jesus, that's what we're talking about. The present day ministry of Jesus. And specifically, we talked about some things there. I'm going to go back here for a second. And when we first ventured out to talk about this, the present day ministry of Hebrews, I want us to go. I know I told you to go to that chapter, but I want you to go to verse chapter 9. And let's go read verse 11 and 12 here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once, having obtained eternal redemption. That's reading the King James Version. Let me just go ahead and read it, the New Living, give some of you more clarity. So Christ has now become a high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater and more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and not part of this created world. With his own blood, not with the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. So, what we have been asking or saying is that we must know the present-day ministry of Jesus. We must know the present-day ministry of Jesus. Like we understand his, or like we understood his earthly ministry when he was here. We knew about him coming, his incarnate birth when he came in, and he grew, became a man, and at 30, he became a minister, an anointed minister by the Holy Spirit. And he did great miracles. And he preached many, many fantastic sermons, did miracles, healings, did a lot of things for 3 years. And we hear a lot of stories about what Jesus did then. And the Bible says that he died for us on the cross. As he was on the cross, taking our place, being our Savior on the cross, the Bible says that God turned his face away from Jesus when he became sin on the cross. God laid your sin on him. He became you. The scripture tells us in Hebrews that in 1 Corinthians that Jesus who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus who knew no sin became sin, S-I-N, not sins, but sin. That's talking about our nature. He became us on there. He took our nature. And God laid, Isaiah tells us that God laid punishment on Jesus. Punished Jesus on our behalf as if we were there. That's why Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. That's called identification. You know, we need to identify that we were there with Jesus. You know, there's a song that Pastor Ken sings around here. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And I didn't understand that song years ago, but that's a song of identification. Jesus identified with us and represented us in heaven. And he took his blood there, the Bible says, we read. You know, when he died, he went to hell for us for 3 days. The Bible says, in the glory of the Father, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And when Jesus was quickened, made alive down there, quickened by the Holy Spirit, the scripture says in Romans and Corinthians, he was quickened by the Spirit, made alive. when he made Jesus alive, because we went there with him. The moment he made Jesus alive, as far as God's concerned, you and I were made alive. We're raised with him. We're raised from the dead with Jesus. According to Scripture, that's the Pauline revelation. And we're seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms above every evil spirit. We're sitting with Jesus positionally. Right now, we might not live like it, we might not look like it, we might not feel like it, but that's where we are as far as God's concerned. Can I take my jacket off? Okay. I'm going to start swinging this around and Pastor Ken's going to get healed, the first one healed. And so, Jesus, when he rose from the dead that first morning, he appeared to Mary. Do you remember that? He appeared to Mary, and Mary talked to him, and she was going to embrace Jesus and touch Jesus. Jesus said, "Don't touch me." That's why he said, "Don't touch me, I'm anointed." No, he said, "Don't touch me." He said, "I haven't gone to heaven to present my blood." So he says, so that was, you know, that was before he became the high priest. Okay? That was before he became the high priest. He said, "Don't touch me." He hadn't put his blood there on the throne. And then he went to heaven, and later he appeared to his disciples. And they all got afraid. They thought, "It's a ghost." You know? He said, "I'm not a ghost. Touch me." He had already gone and put his blood and cleansed that. You know, thank God that he put his blood there. Now today, after he came down from heaven and he showed himself that he's the risen Jesus, he's already done it. He said, "You touched me, and now I'm the high priest." Now, in that particular time, for us, Jesus began a new ministry. He had finished his earthly ministry. Now he's got a new heavenly ministry. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now he is your high priest in heaven. And very little sermon is given on the high priesthood of Jesus. And the book of Hebrews tells a lot of wealth of knowledge about what happened. Today, we need to understand about Jesus. It talks about that Jesus is our high priest. And so we need to learn about what does the high priest do. Well, first of all, he represents you before God. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, he went there. You know, whenever he went in there, he'd have to cleanse himself. And year by year, he went in there to cleanse the sinner. But the Bible says here, we read, that Jesus only went once. He doesn't have to do it every day. He doesn't have to do it once a year, like the Old Testament priest did. They came in and blood brought the goats and calves and blood in there and the cleansing. There was a covering done, atonement. They said they had atonement. But in our sense, he did it one time. He gave us eternal redemption. And we talked about earlier that there's two schools of thought, which was the extreme, you know, Calvinism and Arminianism. You know, one says that, you know, I was determined. God had already planned to save me whether I believed or not. Whether no matter what I did, I'm saved. That's extreme. But, you know, you got to maintain your spirituality and walk with God. The other one is that you could lose your salvation any time. You could sneeze and lose it. You think wrong and lose it, and you have to get saved all over again. But that's not true. So those are both extremes, and you find in there. So we understand today that Jesus is our high priest. So right now you have to understand that he is forever your high priest. Forever. I believe it's Hebrews 7:17 that Jesus, the Bible says that you are a priest forever. So he's going to be there forever for you. We talked about that You know, he's our advocate. An advocate means a lawyer, a representation, a representative in heaven. He represents you always. And if something happens to you, and if you miss God, and if you life messed up, that you got a lawyer in heaven. Amen? And you'll never lose a case, or he'll never lose a case. And no matter what you've done, you can always be forgiven. My friend, I'll be forgiven. And we don't know too much about that. Now, people tell you all kinds of stuff, but it didn't tell you Bible stuff. So you got to understand, because once you people think you mess up and that's it, they condemn you forever and they kick you out of church and whatever. But, you know, we need to bring people in and tell them. So what I hear over there, Brother Hagin used to tell us that lots of pastors preach to the people like they're not saved. Well, we are saved. We're new creatures. We're born again, and our sins are washed away, and we need to learn who we are in Christ, and that we're more than conquerors. That we're people that have authority over the enemy. I remember I was preaching on the authority of the believer, and one minister says, man, that Roma, he's not afraid of the devil. Well, he's not supposed to be afraid of the devil. I mean, you need to respect the devil, but don't be afraid of him, you know? So the devil's going to be here until his days are over. Matthew tells us that there's a time when the devil's going to be shut down, being locked up in a thousand years. But that's not now. He can do whatever he wants to do. And there's some, I watched people teaching different things. They said, Jesus, you know, God's causing a lot of bad stuff going on here. He's judging people. No, he sent Jesus to judge the world. He died for us. And he loves you with an everlasting love. You know, so we got to learn about some good things here. Now, so he's our great high priest. There's a new earthly ministry. Jesus is the author of our lives. We need to understand some of these things that have been spoken about him now in this present time. Now, I want to just talk about this morning a little bit on the, let's see here. Jesus as our intercessor. And I told you to go to the fourth chapter, book of Hebrews, 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Actually, the word profession there is confession. Let me just tell you something here. I think in the third chapter, he says that Jesus is high priest of your profession or your confession. He's the one that says you can have what you say. Right? Mark 11 and 23, 24, he talked about you can have what you say. Not what somebody else says, but what you say. You know, Jeremiah 1, and 12 said that God watches over his word to perform it, to make it good. And, you know, I looked at different scriptures over the years that Jesus cares about everything you care about. And when things go wrong, we can't say what's actually happened and keep cursing yourself and say, oh, this always happens to me, and why don't I ever get a job, and I'm always getting sick, and don't say that. Because if you believe that, it's going to happen to you again. That's how the God kind of faith works. But Jesus said, the Bible says that Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Or profession. The word profession is there. And the word, you know, confession is the word homologio, which means to say the same as God. Literally says that, to say what God says. Abraham did that, our father of faith. He said what God said about him. He said, you're the father of many nations. And he, at that time, at his old age, at 99, he couldn't even have one kid. But yet God says, you're going to have many of them. That's believing far beyond anything you could think about. And yet some of us, we can't say what God says about us according to Scripture when it's not a reality in our natural life. We fail to say what God says. We just say what we see. We don't call things according to what we see because we walk by faith. We call it according to what God said about us.
Amen. Come
to change our lives.
Right.
We need to speak positively. You know, you could be feeling so bad this morning, but just keep your eyes on Jesus. And in fact, no matter what you lose anyway, you're going to win. No matter what happens, you're going to come out on top.
Right.
You can lose, you know, everything you got right now, and it don't matter. Don't be worried about it. You can get something better even. That's where you got to be. That's how you have to believe. Because Abraham said, you know, God can take away my son, but he can raise him back up again. You know what an Abraham offering is? Anybody remember what an Abraham offering was? You know, Abraham gave his only son that he had. He loved so much. Abraham loved his son because he was 99 years old, had this son. And God says, give me back, give me that son. And he gave that son that he loved so much. But some of you, God's asked you for things in your life that you hung on to. He didn't really want that. He just wanted to know if you're willing to do it. And I got a hold of that earlier. I mean, I'm not done yet with my life. I'm just starting. I'm just scratching the surface of what God has in store for us. You know, so, you know, the thing that you hang on so much for is you think you want it, but it really is really not what you really, really want. You know, so Jesus, you know, Jeremiah 1:12 says God watches over his word to perform it. And Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Can we go to Hebrews 3, Kelsey? Kelsey, are you there? No, she's there. Here he goes. Wherefore, brethren, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. What's an apostle? Somebody establishes, right? And high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, he's our apostle. He's the one that establishes our faith. He's the one that gives you the faith that you have. He's a high priest forever. Forever and ever. He's going to be there. He's watching over to you what you're going to say of your profession. What are you professing? What are you saying about your life? What are you saying about your situation and circumstances? Did you know that even good things in life can take you away from God? Blessings can take you away, the blessings of this world. Money can take you away from God. A good job can take you away from God. Someone called me last week, they moved away. And said, where are all the good churches in this town? Well, I said, you know what? They were lamenting away. I said, well, first of all, let me tell you something. That's what I learned from my pastor. Is that if you're going to move somewhere, you got to make sure first, is there a church there for me? If there's no church there for me, I ain't going. I've seen people leave this church, move away, and totally destroyed their family. I'm not saying that it was a bondage to them, but for some reason, they just left. It was all about money. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. We need to make sure God's in the plan, you know, over there. And then you're always safe. Amen? Hallelujah. But anyway, so Jesus, he's the author of our faith. And he will do whatever you said. So if he's the author of your faith, whatever you, he's the high priest of your profession, what are you saying? Let's go to Mark 11:23 again. I mean, this is something you see. You could never stop seeing this scripture. Well, Jesus, he knew what he was saying, didn't he? We shouldn't say things, you know. I remember Mark Davey, you know, he was here, he talked about, he was a landlord. I don't know if he's a landlord anymore, but he always say, who's cursing my house? There's something always happening in my house. Everything's falling apart. The doors are coming down. The plumbing needs this. The flooring needs that. Windows are getting rotten. What's going on? Son, you've been cursing my house. The Lord says, you've been cursing your house. What are you saying about your house? Right? Jesus is saying, here's your high priest talking to you. So verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say it to this mountain. So your mountain represents anything, a difficult situation in your life, a problem in your life, whatever. Whatever you're saying about your mountain. Oh, this mountain's so big, I can't, it's going to kill me. Right? If I have to go through this again, I won't make it. My wife and I were talking about something like that the other day. You know, we said, we're not going to, you know, I don't know if I have the grace to do it. Listen, I'll always have the grace to do it. I want to tell every one of you right now, I always have it. I'll never go down. Amen? He said, well, you're just preaching. No, I'm telling you. I'm unshakable. I am, according to Scripture. He said, I'm like the mountains that surround Jerusalem, and I'm unshakable. I can't be shaken because God can't be shaken. You can take my job, kick me out of here, I'll still live. If every one of you stop tithing and stop giving and stop, I'll still live, and God will have to bring people, new people around here. We got to keep it going, right? I'm not scared. You didn't call me into ministry. You know, I was here a long time before you were here, right? But, hey, listen, we want more people coming because we got to shake the city. Yeah, right? So anyway, so I can't be scared of anything, you or anybody. Sometimes I get scared of myself. Anyway, be thou removed. While you're trying to remove the mountain, right? Be removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Doubt's going to steal. What does doubt mean? It means to have two minds. Doubt means, you know, double-mindedness. You got to be single-minded. James said, you got to be single-minded. If you ask God something, be single-minded. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what the doctor said. God says this. I don't care what the prime minister said. This is what I'm having. I don't care what the government says. I'm having this. Everybody else might be going down, but I am not. Right? Just say that. Right? So is that hard to do? Yeah. It is one of the hardest things to do when everybody else is going the opposite way and you're standing there. You feel like an idiot. And you know, you think you're the only, you're the oddity. Brother Hagin says, if you act like this, you're an oddity to even your Christian friends because you believe the word. He said, you mean to say, he said, you know, he said he had Bell's palsy. His face went down. And he said they went to church with all his friends, his school friends. And right after the service, he lifted up his hand. Pastor, please pray for me before you close the service. And he was closing the service. He said, come up here, Ken. He went up there and they laid hands upon him. And he said, amen. He said, you know, and he went back to his seat, and all his chums would say, Kenneth, did you get healed? He said, oh, yeah, I sure did. Well, you didn't look healed. You don't look healed. So all the way they walked home, they walked back home, and they brought Kenneth Hagin into one of Imogene's mom. They put him under a light. They said, Mom, look at Ken. He said, God healed him. Does it look any different to you? He said, no, he looks the same. His face is all droopy. It doesn't sound right. He said, no, did God really heal you? Oh, yes, sir, he did. Amen. He said, next time you see me, you'll see. Next day they see him, he's all manifested. Amen. He's healed. He didn't call it like it is. He called it the way God wanted him. He said, I believe in healing. Right? So we need to say what God says. Right? So, be not cast seed, shall not doubt in his heart. Don't be double-minded, but shall believe. That's what happens, right? Shall believe that those things what you say. Now, you have to understand this. Do you believe what you say is going to happen? You can only believe what you say only if it's based on the word. You can only believe only what the word says. Not anything else. So you have to ask yourself, is what I'm saying based on the word? That's when you don't doubt, see? So those things which you said shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever. So that's your high priest. He's watching over that. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Jesus is our high priest. And he's up there. He said, I'm going to make sure that what you're concerned about, I'm concerned about it. And I'm going to make sure it happens. If you say it, I'll make sure it happens. Jeremiah 1:12, the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Let's take it in another version. Can you give me another version that'll help us out a little bit more, Kelsey? I'll give you that. What kind of version can you help us to give us, open up our eyes a little bit more in the English language? New Living? Let's try it. Okay. That's right, he said. That means I'm watching and I will certainly carry out my plans. So we need to say what his plans are. What he says in our lives. He's our high priest, isn't he? Thank God for his goodness. He's going to carry it out. So we have a high priest who understands us as humans. He's a high priest who intercedes on our behalf before the Father God. Whenever we come to God, he's going to be there for you. So, he's our intercessor. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:16, the King James says this. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. This is, of course, speaking about the prophetic word of Jesus as our ultimate intercessor who intervened on our behalf and paid the full price of our salvation for our sinful state and saved us and gave us eternal life. The New Living Version says this about that he's our intercessor. He says, the New Living says he intervenes to help the oppressed. Jesus intervenes. Listen, I remember, I can tell you right now, I was oppressed every day. I felt it. I felt like a dark cloud on me every single day. As a teenager, I was depressed ever since I was a child somehow that came on me. And I didn't know I was depressed. I didn't know I was depressed all my kid life. All my teenage life, I didn't know I had oppression on me. Oppression, demonic oppression. And when I got born again, that oppression vanished. And that's why I tell you dramatically why everything was so wonderful. The light came on. And I was so happy. And so the scripture says that he is the one that actually took that away from me. The Good News Bible says, he is astonished to see that there is no one to help the oppressed. So he will use his own power to rescue them and to win his victory. The Contemporary English Bible says, it disgusted him even to learn that no one would do a thing about it. So with his own powerful arm, he won the victories. The Message Bible, in the section of it says, not a soul around to correct the awful situation. Jesus is our intercessor, folks. He'll correct situations like the New Century Version says, he could not find anyone to help the people, and he was surprised that there was no one to help. So he used his own power to save the people. His own goodness gave them strength. So most translations say this of that scripture. There was no one who intervenes No one who intercedes. Both for that scripture. Jesus will always intervene in your life if you call on to him. He will always be there to intercede for you. He's going to be there to intercede for you. To intervene means to come between two points or events. It means a third party to a legal proceeding when a legal proceeding has already begun. He'll come and do his legalities, whatever it is, right? The Bible says Jesus, he's our intercessor, the one who comes and represents all our interests according to Scripture. He's going to make it right for you. You know, there's things in our lives we don't realize sometimes that he's doing. So he is our mediator. He's our go-between, the one who stands in the gap for us. The Old Testament priests used to represent the Israelites on their behalf on a yearly basis. They had a short-term function, but Jesus, who came as our New Testament high priest, now represents us before God as in the new covenant. It says here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, but now had he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator, everybody say mediator, of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. It's a better covenant because we don't have to wait for any priest. We don't have to bring offerings to God. Come on, people, I want to tell you something. Like, you don't have to give anything. You don't have to pray long hours. You don't have to shout. You don't have to cut yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, people do all kinds, they try to win God's approval. You don't have to light a candle. Splash holy water on yourself. Have a number of intercessors pray for you. You know, in my case, I don't have to, you know, do anything. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know some people use different things like a sweet grass or something. I don't have to do that. It would be bondage for me to always have to do that. Well, I might not have one. When I was in another church, I'd have to wait to go to the priest to feel that I'm accepted by God. I couldn't wait to go to confession to be accepted by God. The Bible says I can go to Jesus right now. He's right there at the Father's right hand for me. Representing me, all I have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm changing, thank you. And the blood cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Amen. I didn't have to do anything. Because Jesus did it all. It's the end of all kinds of sacrifices. You don't have to do any more sacrificing. You don't have to do anything. I remember my friend, you know, I went to him, and he's a born-again Christian for years. Growing up in a religious church. You know, I learned to do sacrifices. You know, if you do different things, you know, you can get someone out of hell. You know, you can pray for somebody by doing something. Of course, didn't have scripture. And I remember him smiling, laughing at me. He didn't really laugh at me, make fun of me, but I said things that, I'm gonna give this up as a way of, you know, praying for this, you know. But you know what? It's so nice to know that Jesus paid it all. Amen. So nice to know. But it doesn't mean you don't have to give sacrificing. You don't have to, you know, give up things. You could do that. But I praise God for that because, you know, I'm free. I could do different things, you know. A lot of times, you know, as far as my culture is concerned, people condemn everything about what we do. You know, you could do it unto God, right? The Bible says do everything unto God, right? Don't throw the baby with the bathwater. Yeah? And don't criticize what you don't know, right? In the scriptures. So today Jesus is a high priest. He's our intercessor. Our text shows us that he's our high priest to intercede under the new covenant. He represents us. And he mediates for us. In the old, you know, when the church first started, they thought, these guys are a cult. These new disciples, they're a cult. And I know a lot of, even today, people think I'm a cult. They think you go to a cult church. That's what they say, you know. You guys are a cult. I remember, I remember a time when people weren't sure about me. I talked to different ones, you know, from different churches over the years, and even this weekend, talked to people. They said, oh, yeah, I watch you. He said, keeping an eye on you. keep an eye. But, you know, people think, back in that day, the Apostle Peter said in the book of Acts, there's no salvation without Jesus. There is no other way. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation any other than the name under heaven given among men where we might be saved. There's no other name. So the church, in the early church was called the Way. The Way. Okay. And Acts chapter 9:2, the Bible says there, there's a phrase in there, if he found any of the way, whether it were men or women, that he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. That's, of course, talking about the persecution with Paul, right? If you find the people of the way. So Saul of Tarsus had letters in his possession from the authorities to give him power to arrest whoever he found that followed the way. Acts 19:9, but when divers were hardened and believed not to speak evil of the way, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. Luke says, when they were hardened, when they were disobedient, and they spoke evil of the way. And 19:23 says, the same time there arose no small stir about the way. There was a lot of tension going on there about the way. Jesus is the way, right? Acts 24:14, but as the confess unto thee, after the way which they call heresy, so they I worship God of my fathers, believing the things which are written in the law of the prophets. That's Paul, you know. So even in Acts 24:22, the Bible says that Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. So it was called, you know, they didn't understand this. Jesus is the way. And so, he is the way to the Father. The Bible says, I am the truth, I'm the life. He says, I'm the way to the Father. No one goes to the Father but by me. You know? Thank God that he is your high priest. So, Hebrews 7:25, New Century says, he is able always to save those who come to God through him because he always lives asking God to help them. You know what? You can always go to the Lord, no matter what your situation is this morning, that he is the way. That the common English says, he is forever able to save the people he leads to God because he always lives to speak to God for them. That's your high priest. Jesus is there. I want to read the Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 to 25, the Message Bible. Earlier, there were a lot of priests, for they died and had to be replaced. But Jesus' priesthood is permanent. He's there from now to eternity to save anyone who comes to God through him, always on the job to speak up for them. Thank God for that. Amen? Hebrews 7:25, the good news says, he lives forever to plead with God for them. You know, as we talked about that last week, about people feel bad about when they mess up in life. You know, you got somebody there to represent you. You didn't mean to mess up. But everybody once in a while messes up somehow. Just when you think you're good, you mess up. This one, you think, oh, my wonderful, oh, look at this. Look at all those terrible little guys. They can't even follow God. But look at me. Right? I'm the best. God loves me better than anybody else. Look at that aroma. So, you know, he's our intercessor. Let me just tell you something here. The Greek word for intercessor is a technical term for approaching a king. So Jesus, you know, in the Old Testament, it says there that you cannot come to approach a king unless he calls you in. Come on in. But you remember the story about, what's her name? Esther? She said, I'm going to go see him anyway. If I die, I die. Right? But God already had it that she can come. He says, come on. Come on, Luke. Come on. Ken, you come in. I know you're a pastor, but you can come in there. Narcisse, come on. Now you're a dancer. Powwow dancer. You come in too. You're okay. Ed, businessman, come on in. Who else? Government workers? Indian workers? Anybody can come in, right? Even Pastor Stephen come in. He's a pastor. Come on in. Singers, right? We can all come into God. And he says, come on in. And it intercessor is a technical term that means you can come into the king's presence. And you got the attention of the king, God Almighty, through Jesus Christ. You can go to him just like Esther when he says, I want to pray for my nation. Because they want to annihilate my people. I can go to God. You can go right after this service. You can go to your prayer closet and say, Lord, I got a question to ask you. You can go to God and get his undivided attention in your life. If you got a problem, no matter what it is, you can go to Jesus. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to a special ceremony. You don't have to go to a convention, a Benny Hinn convention, a Brother Hagin convention. You don't have to go to any of that. You can go to God yourself. Woo! I've been trying to get people to tell them, you know what? Listen, you can do this yourself. You don't need my prayer. Your prayer is better than my prayer. Come on now. Right? And I've been trying to tell people, your prayer is better than my prayer. Because you love yourself. You care for yourself more than I care myself. And you will pray that prayer. You stay with it. God will listen to you. Amen. We're trying to grow the church up. And we don't have a lot of, healing lines. You ever notice that? Not that I don't want that, because I believe that when I teach you, you're going to just obey. You're going to act on the word. You can get healed sitting in your chair right there. I don't have to lay hands on you. You say, thank God I believe it. But if you need to, I'll lay hands on you. Little old me, lay hands on you. Right? But you can lay hands on yourself. You can say, Lord, I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word says I'm healed. I'm blessed. Amen. I'm an overcomer. I will not fall. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I'm free. Amen. You can do that right now. Everybody stand up. Come on. Because you got an intercessor right now sitting at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. Don't be in bondage to people. Amen. And to different things and just be free in the Lord. Because God has given you an intercessor to represent you, to help you. Thank you, Lord.